was talking about it. The original Sports Radio 94.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just witnessed history.
WIP.
It's a cheery Monday night in Philadelphia. I'm Spike Eskin with you until 2. Xfinity voice line is 888-729-9494, pound 9494 on your AT&T and Verizon cell. Sort of wondering how long we can be angry about the whole Eagles thing. I was on Friday, and it felt like obviously still angry. I'm here early in the morning, and Angelo is still very mad. I don't know when the appropriate time to turn the page is to start talking about what it's going to be like next. I feel like we started to do that whole coach thing, and then we came against the Redskins, and we got angry again. But the Eagles are not the only thing in Philadelphia to be angry about. I even forget when the press conference was. At some point this summer, I forget when it was because it's a bit of a blur now. But I was over at the Visitor Center, the Constitution Center, and there was the neatest event I've ever seen, the neatest press conference I've ever seen for Andrew Bynum as the Sixers welcomed in the new era of Sixers basketball. That Andrew Bynum, second best center in the NBA, consensus says, has yet to practice, has yet to play a game, and now has injured a second knee due to bowling, and that I think has, when I'm not laughing about it, has me pretty angry about it. Svi Twersky of Slam Magazine, when you heard, because we were texting about it before it came out, when you read the words Andrew Bynum hurt his left knee bowling, what went through your mind?
Man, I don't know what's going through my mind, but I knew what would happen when it hit the Nets, you know? I knew that the jokes would be coming on Twitter. I knew everyone would be making fun of him, and I knew that as bad as it was, people were going to make it even worse than that, you know?
Yeah, I felt like when I saw the words Andrew Bynum hurt his knee bowling, like, I couldn't get over how unbelievable it looked. Like, it just couldn't. Because everything about it has been such a circus so far, it felt like it was, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like you can't write this. This can't be real. And in fact, it was real. Let me ask you this. What's more concerning to you if you're, let's say you're a Sixers fan? Is it more concerning that he's able to hurt himself that way? And not just hurt himself, but hurt himself in a way that really sets him back? Or are you more worried that he, when he's not allowed to practice basketball, not allowed to run, that he would think it's okay to go and do that?
You know, I would say much more the former. Bowling is so non-contact, who would have expected to get hurt that way? The fact that you can get hurt that way, oh my God, man, he's in trouble, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, to get a bone bruise that way, I mean, it doesn't sound like a, you know, a way, it sounds like a way that you tweak your knee, not a way that you bruise your knee, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you this, so, you know, you and I were texting, so I started investigating it a little bit, you know, you asked me, you know, did you hear this rumor that I got hurt bowling, and, you know, I looked into it, and one of the people that I hit, you know, a guy who's played with him before, he texted me back, he said, I don't know if that's true, but I do know that I've never met another player in the league who likes basketball less.
Really?
I mean, and the disclaimer is I don't know Andrew like that. From what I hear, he's a good guy. You know, he seems like a high-character guy. But the fact that, you know, I heard this from, you know, a guy who's played with him before, it kind of made me think, like, you know, what's going on here exactly? That's not the kind of guy I necessarily want to be maxing out.
So the guy said, just to be clear, I don't know a guy that likes basketball less?
Yeah, that's almost word for word what he told me, you know? And I mean, look, I'm sure he's rehabbing hard, and I know he's had all these injury problems, you know, but the fact is, like, that's not something people go for in Philadelphia, you know?
Well, you know, it's not even something that, you know, when you think about the best players in the NBA right now, the best players in the NBA really seem to love basketball. It really seems like LeBron James really, really likes basketball. Kevin Durant really, really likes basketball. You know, these, even Derrick Rose, Kyrie Irving, you watch the way that these guys talk about the game, and you know, even just the way they look in commercials, they seem like they really enjoy it. And it seems like that's almost necessary to put the kind of work in that you need to put the kind of, you know, that you need to put into to really get to that level.
Yeah, you don't even have to just go that far from home. Drew Holiday loves the game. Thad Young loves the game. You know, there's plenty of guys on the Sixers team that have, you know, they put in more work than most guys do in the NBA.
Wow. I can't get over. Yeah, you really bummed me out. Svi Tursky, senior editor of Slam Magazine. So what? When you're watching the Sixers now, you have to at least be encouraged by how Drew Holiday's played, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, anyone who watched the game last night, you know, the way he locked down Kyrie Irving, the way he played against him, you know, it's always been something with Drew. You know, I've been following him for a couple of years, probably since he was at UCLA, a little bit in high school even. The thing about him is he always loves the challenge. I remember asking him, like, going against D. Rose tonight, like, da-da-da, and going against Rajon Rondo tonight, da-da-da. And he always says, you know what, like, I think I'm as good as them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go extra hard tonight. Like, he always steps up his game to play against the better guys. If you look at it, he's always played well against the Celtics. Like, he takes it as a challenge. So coming into the game, it's, oh, what are you going to do against Kyrie tonight? And he thinks of it as, no, what's Kyrie going to do against me? And it might be delusional, but it's an amazing, amazing way to look at it.
If you go and look on Rich Hoffman of LibertyBallers.com did a write-up on the Cavs game and isolated a 12-second clip of Drew Holiday guarding Kyrie Irving, and I've never seen anybody stick him. And it's just 12 seconds, but the aggressiveness to which he stuck him with, you know what I mean? Like, most guys...
Well, not only is it 12 seconds, but it was 12 seconds, you know, at the 340 mark in the fourth quarter, and the Cavs were making a run at that point.
And 12 seconds of Kyrie Irving trying to get by him and trying to run a pick and roll and then trying to cross him over. And then this is not 12 seconds of him standing out there dribbling, you know, surveying the situation. It was pretty sick. And what people around here don't know is, you know, I think that they see Drew Holiday's UCLA stats, which are not impressive. He was sort of playing out of position there. High school, his senior year in high school, 25 points a game, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. I mean, he was a monster in high school.
Oh, I mean, you're talking about a top five player in his class coming out of high school. UCLA was super happy to have him. You know, he would have been a top 10 pick if he could have come straight out of high school.
Anything else you seem enthused by about what you've seen from the Sixers so far this year?
I mean, I was enthused by Evan Turner's play last night. You know, if that's something that he can bottle up, wow, you know, he looked like a different player last night, I thought.
I feel like we say that once every four games. And I'm not trying to kill him, but like I feel like he's one of those guys that we see those games once in a while and we say, well, if he could just do that every night. And I'm starting to get to a point where I don't know if I believe that that's possible.
So you're selling.
I think I'm selling. I'm selling on him being anything more than, you know, we've talked before about his attitude, I guess. And not about him moping or anything like that, but just about what he believes his place is on the team. And I feel like if he could embrace the things that he's good at and embrace that particular role, he could be very, very, very good at it. But I feel like as long as he still keeps thinking he's a number one option and a point guard, I think he's going to have trouble.
Right. Fair enough. I'm not ready to sell just yet, but I hear what you're saying. It's fair to say. You know, I'm pretty high on Thaddeus Young right now. I know his points per game are down, whatever, you know, but over the summer they asked him to do specific things, you know, get a little bit bigger, play a little bit bigger, and I think he's really adjusted to what they've asked. And he's one of those guys, like, you can't say he doesn't love the game. You can't ask him to do more than he does. He's averaging two more rebounds a game than he ever has in his career. You know, he's getting half more steal than he ever has in his career. You know, he's not turning the ball over more, even though he's handling it more. I respect the way that he's approaching it right now.
I think the thing that I respect most about what Thaddeus Young has done this year is that it has been against what I think he really wants to be. I think deep down Thaddeus Young wanted to be a small forward, and they told him to go be a better power forward, and he went and put on 20 pounds and has taken all his shots in the lane and you know, has really committed himself to playing most of his minutes at the four. And, you know, that's a big switch from where he was earlier in his career.
Oh, it's no question. And, you know, you're talking about another All-American who, you know, comes in and he's looking to score 20 points a game, but he's adjusted better than most guys I've seen in recent memory to the fact that, look, you're not going to be a superstar, but what can you give us?
All right. Final question for you.
Let me give you a final thought, though.
Okay.
My big thing is, look, the Sixers, 6-4. At first, you were pretty disappointed with what you saw, and now maybe not as much. My thing is, I think they're where they're supposed to be considering Andrew's out. My problem is, and I'm not placing blame on anyone, my problem is I think the Sixers, their ownership, whatever it might be, overhyped them this summer. They were preening them around like, you know, it's like when you bring like your fiance and you introduce her to all the friends, and before you introduce her, you're like, look, she's a model, she's a beauty queen, da da da, and you bring her in and she's a heifer. You know, what do you want? You know what I'm saying? They oversold her, and so people were looking for bigger things than they got, and that's why people are disappointed, and that's why attendance is down, over 2,000 fans per game.
Yeah, we got MySpace pictured. You know, she looks so hot in her MySpace picture, and then we saw her in real life, and we're like,
Exactly, it's her sister's avatar. You know, she stole her sister's avatar.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they did. I mean, they made it seem like, and you know what? I think the biggest misleading thing was, and I'm not insulting the current team because I think they can work hard and be a respectable team without Bynum. But even that whole preseason, hey, we're going to be great without Andrew Bynum thing was a dangerous thing to be telling people because they started believing it, and then they saw the team, and it wasn't that. And you're right, man. I mean, I was there for that Detroit game, and they announced like 12,000, and there wasn't 12,000 in there. It looked ugly for Utah, too. And I feel bad for the players, you know. You don't want to see players playing in front of, you know, 10,000 people in the NBA arena. So, all right, so I still get to ask you the question. First game of 2013. Starting center for the Philadelphia 76ers is or is not Andrew Bynum?
I'm going to throw that back at you. The better question is, does Andrew Bynum play before Andy Reid resigns or is fired?
No. No. I don't think so, man. No, absolutely not. No chance.
No, but in all seriousness, I'm under the belief and the opinion, and it's somewhat informed, that Andrew Bynum very well might not suit up this season at all.
Oh, stop.
It's informed. I've heard that from certain people. Obviously, they're not their doctors, and they haven't, like, seen his scans and x-rays, but the expectations are low, and keep them low. That way, if he comes back, you'll be happy.
Yeah, everything will be a bonus, right?
Exactly. If he gives you 12 games, it'll be a bonus. The real question is, do you max him out this summer if he doesn't play this year?
I don't think he can.
I don't know. I mean, the seven-footers who are skilled in the NBA don't come along that often. Of course, they won't be able to be in short, but look, Amar is still getting paid.
Well, I heard he bowls a 225 average, too. So if he can't play, at least we got that, right? All right, man. It's V. Twersky, senior editor of Slam Magazine. Follow him on Twitter, at T. Twersky. I'll throw that up on mine if you don't know how to spell it, too. So you can check mine to find his. Thank you, brother. Thanks. They bummed me out. If you feel bummed out now, wait till you hear how bad sports can be. Because sports, as bad as they are right now, can be even worse. And I have somebody who can tell you how. Xfinity Voice Line is 888-729-9494, #9494 in your AT&T and Verizon cell. I'm Spike Eskin. 94 WIP Sports Time is 12:36.
Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Thanksgiving is a time for reflection and being thankful for what we have, especially while in the car with the family on the way to Grandma's house. You'll have
football on 94 WIP.
Thanksgiving Day at noon. Lions.
Texans. Rock and roll. The Texans win it. Andre Johnson.
Then, after the blessed meal.
Football on 94 WIP.
Thanksgiving afternoon at 4.
Cowboys.
Redskins.
Robert's got time.
Going for all of it.
Let's go!
And when your auntie's pie a la mode comes out with a side of turkey sandwich and the button on your pants blasts off, almost killing her, you'll have
football on 94 WIP.
Thanksgiving evening at 8. Jets. Patriots.
Captain Brady on first down.
Fires long and deep. Open. Touchdown.
Boom. Happy Thanksgiving from where the NFL happens. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Property in Pennsylvania or New Jersey and suffer damage due to Hurricane Sandy, call Ace Public Adjusters today. If you have homeowners insurance, you may be able to collect money from your loss. Call Ace Public Adjusters at 215-624-4911 before you call your insurance company. At Ace, they know what you're entitled to. Ace Public Adjusters represents you, not the insurance company. And since Ace works on a contingency basis, if they don't recover money for you, there is no fee. Check them out at acepublicadjusters.com. If your property was damaged, call Ace before you call your insurance company. Ace Public Adjusters will get you results and get you paid. Ace Public Adjusters, 215-